Today with Sarah McInerney.
Well, more businesses opened their doors yesterday as part of phase three of the roadmap of reopening the country. But there are, however, many businesses who may not reopen due to it just not being viable for them to do so. And this, in turn, could lead to an explosion of redundancies across all sectors over the next few months. So to discuss the redundancy process for both employers and employees, I'm joined in studio by our regular employment law specialist, Richard Grogan. And as I said, if you have any questions or queries for Richard, you can text us in 51551 or email todayradio@rte.ie, and we will do our best to get through as many as possible. Richard, good morning and thank you for joining me this morning. These fears about a big wave of redundancies coming towards us in the next couple of months, are they overblown, do you think?
No, they're happening now already. Businesses are already doing it. The closing down is the one that we all know, but there's other ones that are coming in, which is employers are saying, there's going to be a reduction in my turnover, I'm not going to need as many staff. Or employers just looking at things over the last 13, 14 weeks and saying, maybe I don't need as many staff as I had. So that's the first one. The real one that's coming in and it causes the real problems and the upset for employees especially, is where the employer says, look, I'm going to have to do work in a different way and you're just not qualified for that role. So your job is going. And the second one now is employers saying, look, I'm going to have to do work in a different way, and I'm going to have people that need people that can, we say, multitask. So you would have a two drivers and you have two people in the warehouse, and you say, no, in future, everybody's going to have to be able to drive. Okay. So I'm now going to need three people. So two people may go, you may actually take on one more person, a new person. So there's a lot of issues that come around that. It is really coming down the track.
Okay, so lots of questions for you here. One person says, I work for a company that brings foreign students to the country. I've been employed in the same company for over 20 years. I was temporarily laid off due to COVID. My employer has an intention to re-employ me from August, but my conditions are changed. No change in salary, 30% cut of my mileage money, on call 24/7 from every 10 to 5 weeks with no pay, working on sociable hours and weekends when needed with no pay. My employer says he can't make me redundant as he has no money to pay me, and I can't allow of the estate stationary redundancy. I'm not entirely sure what
statutory
that means.
Statutory redundancy.
Statutory, maybe that's the area. Yes. As his company is insolvent, can you please advise me of my choices in this situation? It's
right.
Complicated enough, that one.
Yeah, right. Interesting one. Allowances, like mileage allowances, aren't taken into account in our legislation for classifying your wages. So classified on that, you have no reduction in wages. So therefore, you can get a reduction. You can claim redundancy if your hours are reduced by 50% or your wages by 50%. But allowances aren't taken into account. Mm-hmm. So she hasn't got it there. What she has there now is probably one of the... I actually can't think of a section of the Organisational Working Time Act that she's not going to have a claim against the employer against, because you can't work an employee that way, this 24/7 availability and unsociable hours. No, that's not allowed. So she doesn't have a redundancy case, but she may have a very good working time case.
And if she did want to go down that route and take a case, how long would it be before it would be resolved?
The WRC, up until now, it was 8 months from lodging a claim to getting a case settled, finished, a decision. Now, they've been closed for 4 months. They're not starting until the end of July, and I've no idea. If somebody asked me that question now, I'm saying you could be looking at 12 months between lodging a claim and getting a decision. But once you get it in, you get it in. And if the company goes insolvent, the state pays.
Can you stay working while you've lodged the case?
And not for redundancy, but for working time. Oh, yeah, lots of people.
And would the employer know that the case has been lodged? They would.
Well, if they have a lawyer like us.
I'm just wondering, would it make for very difficult, you know, if you're waiting for 8 months, a year, maybe longer for a case to be heard and you have to go in and out of the office every day or deal with those people that you're taking a case against them, it makes it for a difficult work life, doesn't it?
Well, it's not a great work life, but the answer on it is you can walk out with nothing.
Right.
Or you put up with it, and you know, you may very well find that if you put the claim in, the employer wants to get the case resolved. You might suddenly find that redundancy money becomes available very quickly.
You get your mileage back.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's see. Lots of texts in here. One person says, "Hi Sarah, I was recently made redundant, and our former employer refused to pay out any of the toil time off in lieu or overtime that we had accrued. The policy stated that we would not receive pay for toil, but we could take the time back. Given we lost our job and weren't able to take the time back, is there anything we can do?
Yeah, that's a payment of wages claim straight down to the WRC again. That's okay. The answer to it, yes.
And do you find in your experience that, like in that instance where it's pretty straight up, that it, when you say I'm going to the WRC, that might be enough to resolve things?
Normally what you do is, because the time limits are so tight, because it's 6 months, you can only go back 6 months on a case, you issue the claim first and then you start talking. Sue first, then start talking about it, because you stop the time limit running the minute you issue the proceedings.
Okay. Can an employer include what you get when you retire in a redundancy offer?
Well, now that I'm not sure of that question. Sometimes that's an enhanced redundancy payment, and there are tax issues that can come in if you're doing enhanced redundancies, where you can get additional monies because you've got a pensions scheme. I think that I'm not quite sure of that question, okay. But usually the answer is the employer can always bump up a statutory redundancy. Yeah.
What about apprentices? Are they entitled to redundancy? This is from a second year apprentice who has been let go due to no work.
Yes, if they're there for 2 years, you have to have 2 years employment to get redundancy. So if you're working for a year and 9 months and then you're made redundant, you don't get redundancy. Okay. You have to have 2 years service to get redundancy.
Okay. What happens if a company closes and the employer just doesn't have the money to offer redundancy?
Oh, right. Then you have to go down to the WRC. You've got to get an order from the WRC, and then you go to the Department of Social Protection, and the Social Fund pays out. That's paid for by the EU. It's an EU-backed fund. So if a company goes into liquidation, they have to pay out all the awards. So that would include your notice period and any unpaid holidays that would be outstanding. So it's a big safety net for employees.
What about then if an employer is making redundancies for employees who are on the temporary wage subsidy scheme?
Oh, no, there's a problem with that. If an employer intends to put somebody at risk, they have to take them off the temporary wage subsidy scheme during the selection process and during the whole process of making them redundant. That's what the revenue say. So, and that's a good sense, because then you go back onto your normal wages during that period of time, and that then sets out what your salary is and what your notice period or an amount to get paid notice on is.
What are the most common issues that you're seeing, Richard, at the moment from people coming in?
Really, it's the selection process. We always say that to an employer, you run the selection process as if it's a disciplinary, but the employee has done nothing wrong. So they're entitled to be represented, and they're entitled to come and say, look, I shouldn't be made redundant, and here's the reasons why I shouldn't. So it's very much like a disciplinary process without the employee doing anything wrong. So simply getting a letter, there's a lot of employers who simply say, I'm making you redundant, I've decided I'm doing it with fewer staff. They send it out, then they haven't complied, and you're into an unfair dismissal claim straight away. So there's a lot of that's going on, and there's a lot of people are just getting a letter saying, you're redundant. So that's a big problem.
Okay, this is an email from a listener. My husband was made redundant on Friday, March 13th. He signed the forms that advise him of his amount due nearly 3 weeks ago. How long does it usually take for the money to come through, as we have bills mounting up since March and we're very stressed?
If you're going to the Social Fund to get it, months. If you're going to the Department of Social Protection, it's months to get the thing, because they have to process it, then they have to check your PRSI contributions and the rest. If it's coming from the employer, there is no statutory time limit. If you haven't got paid, you may have to just lodge your claim down in the WRC to try and push it along. And you do have to do it. You're supposed to get it in within a year, but if you haven't got the money within 3-4 weeks, really get the claim in.
Are you seeing situations where some employers are taking advantage of the COVID-19 situation to cut staff?
Of course. I mean, never let a good crisis go to waste. Mm. Is, you know, so there are going to be employers who are going to say, this is an opportunity. You know, but in reality, employers are there to make money. They're there to run a business. So there will always be some who will say, this is an opportunity to get rid of Joe or Mary. They're the ones that usually end up in an unfair dismissal claim because they don't do the procedures correctly. But there will be some who will say, this is a way to just get rid of everybody and start again. Yes.
So for employers then, small businesses and things like that, who can remain viable but with less staff, what advice would you be giving them in terms of how to approach it?
Well, Well, the first thing is, you know, if they're in an organisation like ISMA or IBEC, they should go to them to get advice as to how to do the process, the redundancy process. It is quite complex. If they're not, they need to go to an employment law solicitor to walk them through what has to be done. It's not just, there is a process to be done, and if you don't do the process correctly, you can be in an unfair dismissal claim and you could end up with an employee being reinstated or having to re-engage them. So it's very, very important to get the proper advice, particularly as, you know, this is something that they won't have done previously. They won't know what the law on it is, and it's very easy to get it wrong. It's 1967 legislation. It was, and it's not written for the current environment. So you really have to be
okay. So get advice. Get advice.
Yeah.
Another texter says, "Hi Sarah, all my co-workers have returned to work, but I haven't. My boss won't confirm if I'm returning. Can you please advise what I should do? I'm with the company 5 years."
She's got a problem because currently she can do nothing to claim redundancy until after the 10th of August. So they've stopped you. You can't claim redundancy at the present time if you've been on layoff until after the 10th of August. That could be extended. It sounds unusual. So again, this person needs to get a bit of advice. It's a woman. I don't know. There could be gender issues there. There could be child care issues.
I don't know if it's a woman actually. Yeah.
But if only one person is not being called back, then they need to be getting legal advice themselves, because if everybody else is going back and you're not, it should start raising questions as to why you are not the one person not being called back.
All right, so don't hang around any longer.
Oh, don't hang around. Yeah, get the advice. You know, get it quickly. Yeah, it's always get advice.
All right. Richard Grogan, employment law specialist. As usual, lots of texts and emails that we haven't been able to get to today, but we'll have you in again very soon. Thank you very much for joining us this morning. And it's just gone 11 o'clock now. We'll go to Brian Jennings in the newsroom.